And the seventh question is, what is the complete meaning if the words sati and patthana are combined together? And yesterday, Saroji did not finish answering that question. If yogis have listened attentively to the answers of other questions, Saroji does not even have to answer this one, as it is quite complete already. The ordinary meaning of sati and patthana together means that it is the mindfulness that is sustained, closely, firmly established on the four kinds of objects, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. When it is said that sati, mindfulness, is closely established on the object, they are the three kinds of closely being established on the object. There is the kind of closely established on the object when the noting mind is very near or very close to the object on the surface. And there is the closely establishment on the object by the noting mind entering into the object, being very close to the object. And there is the kind of closely established in greater speed, in great momentum. But if one notes hastily, then the noting is not meticulous. In order not to let it happen, one should note meticulously, covering, spreading the noting mind onto the entire object. And there are these three meanings of being closely established on the object. So the mindfulness should be closely established on the object, entering into the object, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, at the moment the object arises, firmly sustained on the object. When it is said that the mindfulness is closely established on the object, it means that the mind and the object are very close to each other, sticking onto the object, so that there is sustained mindfulness, firm mindfulness that is firmly established on the object continuously, like a stream of current. So it is the mindfulness that rushes onto the object in great momentum continuously, so that it is outstandingly, extraordinarily sustained on the object. And when the mind rushes into the object in greatest momentum, it also describes that the mindfulness should rush in great momentum onto the object as if like a sudden attack. And patharetva pavatati, meaning that the mindfulness should spread and cover the entire object, and the mindfulness should be continuously, firmly sustained on the object. After answering the seventh question, Saroji will go on to answer the eighth question. The eighth question is, can one understand combining theory and practice? And Saroji had talked earlier on that in the sitting, one should be mindful of the primary object, rising, falling, as well as the other objects. In noting these objects, one should exert ardent effort. And Saraji described how one should exert ardent effort in the noting, always being alert, active, ready to note the object. Atapa is the ardent effort, pushing the mind onto the object so that mindfulness sticks onto the object. If the effort is lack, then the noting mind falls short of the target. And when the effort is excessive, the mind slips away from the object. And one should aim so that the effort should be just right. Aiming, directing, is called vitaka. It is one of the jhanic factors. Jhana means closely concentrating, observing on the object. Vitaka is the initial application, aiming, directing the noting mind onto the object. Vitaka is not ordinary thinking, but aiming, directing the mind onto the object. When rising of the abdomen takes place, one should aim and direct the mind onto the object so that mindfulness is direct with the object. And when falling takes place, one should aim the mind onto the object so that mindfulness will be direct with the falling. In this way, one should exert ardent effort in noting as well as aiming, directing the mind onto the object. Noting rising with aim and effort, the mind rubs against the object and the noting becomes effective and efficient. When the noting is efficient and effective, there will not be uncertainty. Uncertainty is removed. By noting the object with aim and effort, applying vitaka and viriya, the noting mind rubs against the object and vichara is also involved. So one should continuously note the object with aim and effort so that mindfulness rubs against the object. And this is how one should be mindful of the object. This is learning of how one should be mindful of the object in theory and practice. In Satipatthana Uddesa, there mentions viriya, effort, sati, mindfulness, and sambhajanya, the knowledge. Only these three are mentioned. And vitaka, vichara, and ekagata are not mentioned. But in the text, there are two types of jhana, samatha jhana and vipassana jhana. In the practice of vipassana, one has to note the object so as to discern the characteristics of the nama rupa, cause and effect, and impermanent suffering and non-self. In order to cultivate vipassana jnana, insight knowledge, one needs to apply the vipassana jhana. In order to note the object, one should aim the mind onto the object so that the noting mind rubs against the object, the noting becomes effective, efficient, there is joy, comfort, happiness, and lightness. The joy and happiness are in the jhanic factors. One-pointedness of the mind automatically follows. In order that the noting mind should be direct with the object, one needs to aim the mind onto the object and put effort in the noting. And the noting becomes efficient, effective, and joy, happiness, one-pointedness of the mind automatically will be cultivated. And in the Maggasutta, there mentions vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. Initial application, sustained application, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness of the mind. But in Odesa, there only mentions the three, viriya, sati, and sampajanya. In Satipatthana Sutta, there mentioned anupassana. One should have sustained mindfulness on every bodily action continuously. And when feelings and sensations arise, one should be mindful of these feelings and sensations. And when thoughts, imagination arise, one should be mindful of these thoughts, imagination, which is citta anupassana. And when other general objects such as seeing, hearing takes place, one should be mindful, and it is dhamma anupassana. Whatever object that arises, being mindful of them with sustained mindfulness is anupassana. And the person who practices anupassana is called anupassi. Anupassi is the person who has the habit of practicing, being mindful on every arising object with sustained mindfulness. In order to note the object continuously, one should exert ardent effort in the practice. Whatever the object arises, one should exert ardent effort in the noting so that mindfulness will be sustained on the object. And as the mindfulness is cultivated, the person becomes satima, the person who possesses mindfulness. So when satima means the person who possesses mindfulness, it doesn't mean that the person has ordinary mindfulness, but the mindfulness should be outstanding, extraordinary mindfulness that arises continuously in great number. In the worldly example, a person is not called a rich person if he or she has just hundreds or thousands, but the person is called a rich person if he or she has millions. In the same way, when saying satima, the person who possesses mindfulness, it is not just ordinary mindfulness or the mindfulness that is limited, but the yogi's mindfulness should be extraordinary, outstanding, which arises continuously, again and again, repeatedly, on every arising object. And in order to have that kind of mindfulness, one needs to make ardent effort in noting. One should aim the noting mind onto the object so that the noting will be effective, efficient. And as the noting mind sticks onto the object, knowledge automatically arises, and sampajanya, the correct, complete knowledge arises. Whenever the object arises, one should assert ardent effort in the noting so that there will be sustained mindfulness. So this is the theory. And when putting it into practice, when rising of the abdomen takes place, one should note it with aim and effort so that the noting mind rubs against the object and it is practical. So that the mindfulness is sustained on the object, the mind does not run elsewhere, the mind falls calm, collected on the object, and samadhi concentration is cultivated. And when the noting mind falls calm, collected on the object, at times the mind falls on form or shape of the abdomen. At times, the mind falls on the manner of rising. At times, the mind falls on the nature, such as stiffness, tension. In the beginning, the mind only falls on the form or shape of the abdomen or the manner of rising. But so long as the mind sticking onto the object, falling calm, collected on the object, it is quite good. But as the person notes again and again, when the mindfulness is strong, concentration is strong, one comes to discern correctly, completely, by oneself, outstandingly, distinctly, and sampajanya is cultivated. Only if viriya, sati, and samadhi, only if effort, mindfulness, and concentration is strong, knowledge or sampajanya will arise. But if the person is thinking what it is, why is it, how is it, rather than noting the object, the person will not discern the nature, the characteristics. And Saraji says that if one is thinking what it is, why is it, how is it, rather than noting, the person will not be cultivating knowledge at all. So the instruction is, the theory is, one should be mindful of every bodily action continuously, and one should put it into practice. And when good and bad feelings and sensations arise, one should be mindful of them with sustained mindfulness, and one will discern. And the instruction is, when pains and aches arise, one should be mindful of them with patience and forbearance. When noting pain with sustained mindfulness, one will see that at times the pain increases, at times the pain stops, at times the pain deteriorates, at times the pain disappear one after another, bit by bit, and the pain pass away. And when the person overcomes the pain, the person can even challenge the pain. And it is practice, it is the practical knowledge that one gets by applying the theory in the practice. So the theory is, when pain arises, one should note it with patience and forbearance. And when the person put it into practice, practicing accordingly, one sees that even though it is pain, but there is no anger connected with the physical pain. And noting pain, one does not crave for good ones to arise. And when the mindfulness is sustained on the object, then one does not wish for the pain to go away, or one does not crave for the good experiences. And when good experiences arise, by being mindful of them, one does not crave for better ones to arise. So it is the practice. In this way, one has to combine theory and practice. And when thoughts, imaginations arise, one should be mindful of them. When noting the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen with aim and effort, if the person is able to note it efficiently, one knows that one can note it efficiently. And if the mind slips away from the object, the person knows right away that he or she missed or failed to note the object. And when the mind associating with raga, lust, arises, one notices it, that it is the mind associating with raga, and being mindful of it, when lust goes away, one also notices that the wholesome mind arises without lust. And when angry mind arises, one notices as the angry mind, being able to note it. Noting the angry mind, when the angry mind goes away, one notices that the wholesome mind arises as the angry mind passes away. In this way, one is mindful of one's consciousness. The theory is note every mind or consciousness when it arises, and one puts it into practice. And when seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching arises, or when laziness, sluggishness, distraction, doubt arises, the theory is one has to note it as it is, as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and so on. And it is the practice. In this way, one has to put this theory into practice, combining theory and practice. Combining theory and practice, by practicing respectfully, meticulously, one will gain knowledge even within a few days. It is because the person puts theory into practice and one gets this answer. In the beginning of the practice, yogi cannot discern the true nature without noting with the labeling. So in the beginning, one has to note the object with the mental labeling, mental noting in the common use, such as rising, falling, sitting, touching, bending, stretching. So in this way, one has to use this usage, such as rising, falling, while noting the object, mentally labeling them. So there are three things that one should know when noting the objects such as rising and falling. The three things are the sandhana, form or shape. And the second is akara, manner. And the third is sabhava, the characteristics. So when noting rising of the abdomen, when one sees the form or shape of the abdomen, but actually form or shape does not exist. Akara is the manner of rising, manner of falling, manner of sitting, manner of touching, the manner of bending, the manner of stretching. It is also concept. And there is the sabhava, the nature or the characteristic, such as stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. But in the beginning, one should not just be looking for the characteristic or the nature, But if one is deliberately looking for it, there will be thoughts arising and one will not discern the nature. So these three, the sandhana, form or shape, the akara, manner, and sabhava, the nature or the characteristics, are the three things that one can discern. In order to discern, one should be mindful of the object that is arising at the present moment. And by being mindful, one's noting mind will fall beyond form or shape or the manner, but into the true nature, the true characteristics, such as stiffness, tension, movement. When viriya and sati, when effort and mindfulness become strong, the mind will fall calm and collected, and one will automatically discern the true nature, the true characteristics. In the practice, when the yogi gets to the middle level of the vipassana insight, yogi comes to discern the sabhava, the nature, the characteristics itself, clearly, distinctly. When the yogi gets to the stage of insight, the sandhana panyati, form or shape concept, will no longer be obvious automatically. And akara panyati, the manner concept, the manner of rising and falling, no longer manifests. But in the beginning, yogi experiences mixing with the form or shape or the manner, but it doesn't matter as long as the mind falls calm, collected on the object. And the question number 9, when one combines theory and practice, what will be the benefits? By being mindful of the objects, one is free from raga, lust, dosa, anger, moha, delusion. So the mind is free from lust, anger, delusion, and one discerns correctly, distinctly, removing uncertainty and doubt. And the mental strength that are involved in each of the notings, each of them have their own qualities. Viriya, effort, overcomes kosaja, laziness. Having effort, the mind is alert, diligent, and one overcomes laziness. So it is the benefit, there is the benefit of removing laziness by having viriya effort. When the mind is aimed onto the object, the mind is fresh, open, blossom. When the mind is fresh, open, blossom, by applying aiming, one gains the benefit of not constricting the mind. The mind is not constricted. Not wanting to exert effort, feeling exhausted, such kind of sloth and torpor have no chance to arise so long as one exerts vidaka, aiming the mind onto the object. So having vidaka, aiming the mind onto the object, the mind will not be constricted, the mind will not be slimy, there is no laziness, not wanting to take easy in the practice. In this way, when the mind is fresh, alert, laziness have no chance to arise. So it is the benefit. Noting the object with aim and effort, the mind rubs against the object, vichara automatically follows. Having vichara, the mind rubbing against the object, there will not be uncertainty. Noting the object such as rising, the mind rubbing against the object, noting is effective, efficient, discerning stiffness, tension, and so on, and one overcomes uncertainty by having vichara. So the benefit of overcoming uncertainty arises by having vichara. Having sati, mindfulness, the mind is guarded, protected away from defilements, and thus the mind is safe and secure. It is the benefit of having sati, mindfulness. So in this way, each and every mental strength has the quality to oppose their opposite defilements. Having samadhi, concentration, the mind is not unruly, the mind is not agitated, but the mind falls calm, collected on the object, and one discerns clearly, distinctly, without uncertainty or doubt. In this way, one discerns clearly, distinctly, just like looking it with the headlight or looking it with the lights on. And one removes the darkness of ignorance. So these are the benefits one gets, as well as purifying the mind. The mind becomes pure, clean, gentle, lovable, and so on. So there are many other benefits that are not limited. And this is the answer to the 9th question. An hour is up, and Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu.